It's showtime.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this second day of August 2022. This program is live, and this program is coming to you, of course, from the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion. I'm back. Only missed yesterday. Sorry about that. That was just, well, I had my appointment. But, yeah, this program's live, and we begin a new, well, the last full month of summer. You know, we get like 20 days or something in September, but is it just me or has summer flown by? And, hi, I'm Robin. It is not a Moran Monday. It's a Titanic Tuesday, but we may wind up with some Morans in the mix anyway. But before I get ahead of myself, we need to attend to the basic necessities. Every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. And so consequently, thanks go out to our first and second day of the month subscribers. So that means, let's go back to the first and do this in order. Big thanks to Max, both on the first and the second. So many thank you. Thank you so much, Max. That's tremendous. Thank you. Thank you to Chris. And thank you to Mark. Thank you, Joseph. Thank you, Rusty. Thank you to Tom and Sunny San Rafael. Like I said, thank you to Max. And, well, that's how, and thank you to Elizabeth. Thank you, Rocco. Thank you all for being partial sponsors of the program. So here's where we stand. We had a pretty miraculous Friday on the front porch, and so we ended up with only a $500 fundraising hole. Thanks so kindly to Max, it's only a $300 fundraising hole. And so here's the trick. That's so important, because this being the first broadcast day of the month, we have Bruce and Karen's challenge. They were the ones who originated the whole first of the month thing, and there is $300 for Bruce and Karen's memorial challenge. There's $300 waiting to be matched, and I cannot tell you how important that is. Because, you know, rolling, the bills, they keep it rolling, and I tried to be a very frugal girl while I was gone. Just in case anybody's wondering, the cheapest gasoline I found was in Bardstown, Kentucky. $3.47.09 per gallon. Just 35 miles up the road in Versailles, Kentucky, it was $4.10. I don't know what it is, but, and it went up as I went west and went south, too. Weird. But that was the cheapest gasoline I found. Had an adventure. Some of it good, some of it not so good. For those of you who are interested. What was worrying me the most? I had my surgeon's appointment. Yay for the uninsured! That's $200 I'll never see again. But it was $200 well spent to find out that whatever that lump is down there is nothing. Those were precise words. It's nothing awful. It might be uncomfortable, but it's nothing bad beyond being uncomfortable. So, got a clean bill of health. He said, everything looks great. Sometime in the future, he'd like to roll me back in and do a little bit, well, get rid of the lump. But that's only if I can ever find insurance. You know, that's how it goes with uninsured America. But it's what a great weight off my mind that is. Because I've been worrying about it since February, so that's half a year. Along the way, I told you this was what I was going to do. I left on Saturday and I drove all the way to Florence, but I had to leave late on Saturday because all it was doing was raining. I felt like I was that line out of, what's that Bruce Springsteen song off of, Born in the USA? Oh, Downbound Train. Downbound Train, where the narrator of the song sings, "Now I work down at the car wash where all it ever does is rain." And that's all it did Saturday. It's like, oh, come on, I'm not leaving in this. Because I just despised it. So I waited until the rain let up, which meant that I left here at 1 o'clock. And, you know, the first, when I go that way, well, anytime I leave here, unless I'm going north or west, there's the mountain to be dealt with, and the hour to Charleston is just two-lane road, and so that cuts your time down significantly in terms of your average speed. And I'm a nerd, and I calculate all that stuff as I go. Sometimes I'm not as bad at ciphering as I let on, so I left here at 1 Eastern time, gained an hour, long about, when I exited LaRue County, Kentucky at Upton, or around Upton, Kentucky, and there's a story there. There's an old Stuckey's that is now, I kid you not, a sex toy store, but that's precisely where my family broke down, back when I was a little kid in the 1966 Chrysler Newport Town Sedan, turquoise in color. The things I put on brain cells. And we waited there for half a day, my father grumbling, sweating, because the freeze plug, and I don't know what a freeze plug is. The freeze plug had gone out on the car. And we had to wait for a part, because there was a mechanic shop behind the Stuckey's that's now a sex toy store. So I always think of them in that day as I go on past, and then you get on down toward Horse Cave and Carter Cave and all of that Kentucky, where there used to be a big, humongous outlet mall. You know, there was like a fragrance shop, and there was a Polo Ralph Lauren outlet, and there was a Nautica outlet, and so forth and so on, you know, Talbot's, Dress Barn, that kind of thing. It is now a sex toy mall. Something about Kentucky. Oh my God. I've started a thing. But anyway, I rolled into Florence at 10 o'clock. Would have been 11, so it was a 10-hour, almost exactly. Oh, I've started a thing. Damn it. Exactly 10 hours, and totally exhausted. Didn't get to go to the Handy Festival. Went downtown, drove around, just had a look at the old hometown, and every venue was just butthole to belly button with people, and it's like, I am not going to go and fight with that. So I wound up stopping at... There's a Buffalo Wild Wings in front of... I was starved. Because I try not to eat while I'm driving, because that makes me sleepy, you know. But there was a Buffalo Wild Wings in front of the motel I stayed at. And so it was still open, and I popped in, and you know, very noisy place. It's been a long time since I was in a Buffalo Wild Wings. Probably so far back that was back when they were calling it BW3. Must have gotten bought or something. But I walked in there. It was not particularly busy. It was a Saturday night, but the big screens all around had UFC on it, and two women beating the living hell out of each other, and well, that's my idea of a good time. And the crowd, you know, the crowd there would roar, and the crowd in Buffalo Wild Wings would roar every time, every time one of the women slobber knocked one of the other women, or the other woman. Well, that gives a whole new meaning to the other woman, doesn't it? I ordered some boneless wings, which of course don't exist. And I don't know if they had a new guy on the deep fryer or whatever. I ordered a half a dozen original buffalo and a half a dozen Asian Zing, not knowing what the Asian... Well, it turned out that was General Tso's boneless wings. But new dude on the fryer apparently had an ossification fetish or something, because, honest to God, you could have put those things in a slingshot and taking a buzzard out of a tree at 200 yards, you know, if you use one of those wrist rocket thingies. God, they were, they were harder than Babylonian arithmetic. But they're, I was tired, and I decided I would do something that I don't often do, and I ordered a beer, because they had my favorite beer style. They had Kolsch, and it was the beer special, so I got a schooner of that for $3, and that might as well have been the... Yeah, hi, Suman. That might as well have been the soma of ancient Hindu myth, because it didn't get me loaded or anything. It's just like, okay, I'm ready for bed now. And got up the next morning, went to the cemetery, visited my mom and dad's grave, completely fell apart, bawled my little eyes out, left dad two Marlboro Reds and a butterscotch C's lollipop for my mom, because she used butterscotch to quit smoking back in 1972. And had a nice talk with them. Told them they have a new granddaughter. And, you know, just filled them in on what's going on with the family. I don't believe in the afterlife. But somehow or another, it was just on me to have that little chat with them. And there was a lot of crying involved. And I tidied up, and then went out to my dear friend Lila's house, and that girl can make some wings. Hi, Lila, if you're listening. Love you. And she fixed wings, and they were the best. they were so far different from those nightmares at Buffalo Wild Wings. Oh, my heavenly days. They were, good. And left there, drove in the rain up to Franklin, Tennessee, because that's where my surgeon is now, having left Talabama. And, you know, it's my life. I think the universe kindly provides me moments like this just so I'll have something to talk about when I get back home. Got a room at the Quality Inn on Murfreesboro Road. And here's the Cliff's Notes, or the Spark Notes part of it all. I'll never stay there again. I'll be going back to see my surgeon. I will never stay there again. Ever, ever. I had misgivings, because it was one of those motels where, you know, you just walk into the room out of the parking lot, and that often gives me the creeps. But I was there and trying to be frugal. And so, you know, just went in the room and got settled in, got my bath, you know, did everything I was going to do, and crawled under the covers to go to sleep. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, some dude's car alarm started going off. And okay, you know, it's the modern world. you know, I include myself in this Titanic Tuesday. I'm not right wing, but there was some Titanic intellect involved because I should have known better. I should have gotten a better place. It would have been $40 more for a Comfort Inn. But I didn't, because I was trying, channeling my inner Scotswoman. And so the car alarm went off and went whang, whang. You know how loud they are. And after a while, it stopped. And I figured whoever owned the car had found their key fob and gone click, click, and made it go away. And so I've snuggled down under the covers, put my head onto the pillow, you know, got everything arranged, and back to sleep I went for 30 minutes till the car alarm went off again. And so up I bolt out of the bed again. Once again, the heart rate's up to about 140, and, you know, incoming! And then again, click, click, and it goes away. So we're at 2:30 now. All right, let's do this again. It's good. It'll be okay. It's going to be all right. 3 o'clock. I mean, Jesus Christ, this was like, I don't know, it was like some old Gothic cathedral tolling the hours through the night. 3 o'clock. Car alarm. A minute. Quit. And at this point in time, I'm thinking, you know, this is getting annoying. And I'm beginning to fret because not only do I have the doctor's appointment in the morning, later that morning at that point, but I've also got an 8-hour drive home. Four a.m. The alarm goes off again. And then it stops. And then 30 seconds later, it goes off again. And it stops. And 30 seconds later, it goes off again, and it stops. And by about 6 o'clock, the battery had finally worn down to the point where it was going, But I tried 3 times calling the front desk. There's a story here. There really is. Beyond this, there's a story. I called the front desk 3 times, and nobody bothered to answer. The 4th time, I called, and the person who answered was, in a word, nasty, hateful, awful. And I was being my sweet self. You know, I wasn't like, now listen here, buddy, let me tell you. No. Because, you know, this was kind of a big moment for me, traveling by myself a great distance as my authentic self. And I was and I was using my very best voice. Never got misgendered once the entire trip. And the guy was hateful. I said, there's a car alarm back here that's been going off all night long, and you need to do something. And I won't do any funny accents or anything, but he said, what do you want me to do about it? It's not my problem. I said, and at this point in time, I was a little upset, and I said, well, it is your bread. Okay, at what do you want me to do about it? It's not my problem. I became upset. I mean, more upset than I already was. And I said, well, it's damn sure not my problem, and I paid money for this room to sleep in. And obviously, by virtue of the fact that we're on the phone, I'm not sleeping, and neither is anybody on this side of the hotel. To go all Karen on somebody is to complain about something that doesn't deserve complaining about. This damn sure deserved complaining. And then the guy began to cuss me. And I began to cuss back. And he didn't do anything about it. So because I just wanted it to stop. I wanted 2 or 3 hours of sleep before I had to leave. 2 or 3 hours of sleep, I can get down the road. I'm fine. But no sleep within 24 hours, and I'm going to have trouble going up the road. And, you know, you worry about those things. So I called the Franklin, Tennessee Police Department. And dispatch was really nice. And they sent a roller around, got a call from the officer who explained the law of Tennessee. And this is the interesting part. Explained the law of the state of Tennessee to me. Now, when I checked in Alabama, I had to show my ID and give them my registration, or not my registration, but I had to tell them what kind of car I was driving and what the license plate was. Same when I stopped in Kentucky, Georgia, I mean, generally. But the officer explained to me that in the state of Tennessee, because they got them some freedom, you can check into the... You can check into a motel with no ID and not have to mention what... So he said, we ran the plates. We have no way of knowing if that person's in the hotel. And the front desk is completely uncooperative. And then the officer, who was really kind, said, not a very quality night to stay at the Quality Inn, is it, Miss Welch? And I said, no, it's not. And he kind of chuckled, and I kind of chuckled, and he said, seriously, I work here. I do the midnight shift. I'm a police officer. Don't ever stay here again. This is no place for a nice girl to stay. And I said, I'll take that into account. So I cared a little bit more, stayed up the rest of the night, got all daisy fresh for my trip to the surgeon because I knew what was going to be involved. And stopped at the front desk on the way out and said, this is the worst night I've ever spent in a motel. And so I found out today that they have refunded the cost of them, and it'll show up in about a week. Great. But the best part of it all was going and seeing my surgeon. It was his first day at work. First day in the new office, and he gave me a clean bill of health and said, like I said, pretty things up later, run a revision surgery. And there, when we open ourselves to observe the world around us, we see some little moments, and one of his patients came out, young trans girl, beautiful. Probably 6'6". I mean, looked like a model, just willowy. Couldn't have been more than like 20, 22. And the sweet part of it all was that she walked out, and there was a woman who had sat in the chair around the, just oblique to me, said hi to each other. No, she was the only one that spoke to me, and it all made sense. Because the girl walked out, looked over, said, all done, Mama. And Mama stood up and said, good baby, let's go to lunch. And she said, yes. And they walked out, and I got, because, oh, look, there are actually parents out there that love their trans children. Oh, damn, she's made it all about being trans again. God damn it, can't we get through one show? But it was sweet. And so, once the appointment was over, got back in the car, and gave up in Lexington, Kentucky, because I was beginning to see three sets of interstate. And when I do that, and there hasn't been a half a bottle of rot gut tequila with a swirly straw, I know that it's time to quit. So I knocked off in Lexington, and got up early this morning, came on up the road, got home about noon, and that's my big adventure. Kind of a whirlwind, really. I may be a day or so getting back to, that setting on a dryer, normal. You all can just call me Abby. Oh, thank you, Tamara. Tamara says, that's a sweet story. Welcome back. I'm so glad to be home. Grabbed a bite of dinner in Lexington, and lo and behold, I can't get a Kolsch here in West Virginia, but they had an actual German Kolsch. And once again, it served its intended function, and it might as well have been named Michael Finn's Kolsch, because I slept a very, very long time in that hotel. And it was completely uneventful. The hotel room was nice. There were no car alarms. And just having things not be shitty is sometimes the best thing there is. And now I'm so happy to be back. Sorry about missing yesterday. Because, God, we had so much news yesterday. We killed Al-Qaeda's number two for like the 72nd time. Ayman al-Zawahiri. Zawahiri. I don't know. And, of course, this morning I got up and I'm getting ready to go and I'm watching my filthy morning habit. And I swear, Joe Scarborough was feeling so butch. Oh, he felt like a tough, hard-ass merkin. He's been in kind of a butch mode lately because the other, I think it was Friday, there was a story about how the Chinese said, you know, Nancy Pelosi must not go to Taiwan. Well, you know, don't tell Nancy Pelosi she can't do anything because that's the best way to get her to do it. So she's there today, the first high-ranking American official to visit Taiwan in 25 years. And it was strategic. And the spokes guy for national security was there this morning with the Joe sitting there, you know, flexing his biceps on air and feeling all tough and, you know. And, you know, Mika was over there swooning. This is why I watch the program. Not for the information. It's for the interpersonal relationships. But when the Pelosi story came up on Friday, it was like, and the Chinese said, the United States should not forget that the Chinese military is ever-present. And Joe said, well, by God, we've got a military, too, and we're tough. Okay, Joe. And so today it was, he was right there in downtown Kabul in the Tony part of town, living it up, standing on a balcony, and we hell-fired him from a drone. And there was a lot of bruga, 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 and chest hair popping over shirt collars and but the thing is, I mean, yeah, the guy apparently had a hand in the bombing of the USS Cole. He was involved in 9/11, and I'm not discounting any of that. He was probably a very bad man, but just from an image standpoint, I realize we're talking about video on a radio show, you know, dancing about architecture, but still. They need to when you're celebrating slaughtering an old Muslim dude in Afghanistan, you probably need better pictures. Let me explain. Because every picture, and they made a point of making sure that there were a lot of pictures of Ayman al-Zawahiri with Osama bin Laden. Tell me if I'm wrong. Most of those pictures made them look like a couple. Now, I mean, I'm not engaging any shaming or anything, but they did. They looked like a couple. There were a couple where they were glancing at each other. Like, shall we have cheesecake after? And, you know, it's been 21 years since 9/11, and he wasn't a young man then, so it's hard not to come away saying, oh, look, the CIA flew a drone over Afghanistan and hellfired an old missile, hellfire missiled an old man. Yay, he's dead, Merca, greatest country in the history of the world on Earth, now, today, forever in the universe, under God, amen. But it's apparently a very big deal. Yeah. Like I said, I started something a little bit ago with uncomfortable. I'm talking about my Matt in San Francisco says one of my couches is uncomfortable. Beautiful to look at, but uncomfortable. Not sure how I feel about that descriptor coming from a doctor. Well, yeah, but Matt, see, what happens is when a doctor says uncomfortable, he means searing pain. When they've got the syringe in their hand and they're getting ready to stab you and they say, this might hurt a little bit, that means look for a soft place to land. Because not to get all TMI, he hauled out the bumper jack and apparently they, you know those hooks they use in retail establishments to take a hanger off of a high hanging area and bring it down so you can see if it's the right size? They apparently have one of those for girls like me because they grabbed it and they pulled me off the ceiling because damn that hurt. But it was necessary, and that's how he was able to say everything's okay. Stuckies, Matt. Stickies is a bad name for a sex toy store. Business must be down. Yeah. You don't want sticky. Stephen New York says, facetious subject line, Alabama, facetious spoken here. How did it feel to be not as much as a person as the male Alabamolas? That's oh my. Alabamolas. That's going into the regular rotation, Steve. I was well aware of it. I absolutely was. But, you know, I got to be me. So, you know, I went swanning through the world O'Wally for some fresh plastic flowers to put on my parents' grave to replace the old faded plastic flowers that were on there that I put there at Christmas. And when I took, they didn't look too bad, the old plastic flowers. Somehow old plastic flowers probably needs to be a country song or the title to one. But I looked over and I saw, while I was there, I saw the grave of a couple named Gunn, G-U-N-N, and that reminded me of one of the ancestral names in my family. It's a Welsh name named Gwyn, and my multi-great-grandfather, how's this for a name? His name was Salathiel Gwyn. I always thought that was the coolest name. I begged Annette to let us name Ferg, instead of giving him my name, to name him, I wanted to include her daddy's name too, but I wanted Salathiel, and she said no. He doesn't need to fight his way through the first 18 years of his life. Well, we named him Robin, and he had to fight through the first 18 years of his life. Robin is not a great name to give a boy, and hasn't been since 1963. Promise, hand to God. But the guns there, I noticed she was born in 1904, and I think he was somewhere around there, and they both passed in the 1970s. And there were no flowers on their grave, so maybe, well, like I said, I looked at the ones that I put there at Christmas, and they looked okay, and I walked over to the guns' grave, and I put the flowers on theirs. That's how I am. Steve continues and says, Stuckies, so the pecan logs are no longer for eating? I didn't go in, Steve. I just kept on driving. I don't know how that place stays open with Amazon out there. Oh, wait. Never mind. Don't help anybody. Don't help. Emilio says, stop being a closeted math and calculus genius, Robin. The freeze plug sparks the compressor for the AC. That probably is it. And we were driving in August, and it was a million degrees, and everybody was sweating because the air conditioner went out. Thank you, Emilio. Thank you. I told you I didn't stop, Emilio. Did the Sexatorium Mall have good offerings? I didn't stop at either one. Now quit it. I'm a petite, dainty little good girl. Flavio, okay, apparently it's not. It wasn't just me. Buffalo Wild Wings, the first time I went was the last. Blech. Same thing with Famous Dave's. Should be called Famous Diabetes Dave's. Never saw so much crap sugar on pork, mostly corn syrup solids, imitation molasses. Yuck. Well, remind me to stay away from Famous Dave's, Dave and Buster's, because that's all just stuff coming out of a freezer and going into the grease. Dancing about architecture, Emilio says, I like to macrame about quantum field equations personally. So that's, you know, that is my adventure over the course of the weekend. Of course, along the way, you know, every now and then I'd turn off the music and listen to the news as I was going through Kentucky Stan. Yes, I am, Steve, a petite, dainty girl with size 13 feet. You're goddamn right I am. Or at least, you know, that's what I tell myself. Don't harsh my mellow. Got to bring up those size 13 feet, don't you? But that, the flooding, because it's like, it's getting biblical in Kentucky, because it just keeps raining. And not to put too fine a point on it, but I'm if you've got a good paying TV journalism job, is it too much to ask to maybe look into more causes of the flooding than, gee, it's rained a lot? I mean, it's rained a lot. But the rest of Kentucky isn't flooding. When you get on, and you know, my route home involves me taking I-64 westbound to Lexington, actually Versailles. And at Versailles, I get on the Bluegrass Parkway, which takes me to I-65 at Elizabethtown. A few miles, once you get on the Bluegrass Parkway at Versailles, a few miles down, there's a bridge that crosses the Kentucky River. And it's pretty high up. The river itself is on the way down, or a ways down, and it's usually further down. Sucker was way out of its banks, and it was the color of hot chocolate. And the stuff that was bobbing in it was decidedly not marshmallows. And of course, that's dirt. That's earth. That's coming from somewhere. You know, the history of the Nile and the Nilometer, and how in the Upper Nile, the fertile earth is led northward down the river, and that's how the Egyptian civilization began, and, you know, with the flooding and the deposition of the silt. The mouth of the Mississippi River, which has been fucked up, by the way, by things like the Army Corps of Engineers, among others. But zipping across the Kentucky River there, I looked upriver and saw it, as I've just described it. And that's not just rain. That's not just a lot of rain. There is a lot of rain, but it's eastern Kentucky, and it's like nobody in the for-profit media knows what has been done to eastern Kentucky or southern West Virginia enduring similar circumstances. I mean, welcome to climate change. There was a tornado warning here in West Virginia not too terribly far from me last night. I wasn't here. I had good weather all the way, both ways. I waited till it stopped raining. Never, okay, it rained on Sunday evening between Florence and Franklin. That was it. But the fact of the matter is, what you do to the earth will tell on you. And for years I've been talking about, and it's more than that number now, 500 mountains blown away. 2,000 miles of streams buried forever. When you do that, the rain has nowhere to go. It can't absorb into the earth. I mean, I mentioned Egypt a minute ago. An ecologist, soil scientist, told me a long time ago that it takes 1,000 years, 1,000 years, to make 1 inch of soil in the mountains of Appalachia. So that means if you can sink a shovel into an Appalachian hillside and get 6 inches of earth, by the time you get down to that sixth inch, you are 6,000 years into the past. It's time travel. And the coal industry can destroy 10,000, 20,000, oh wait, 300 million years of the development of this planet with one ordinary sized charge with the explosive force of a Tomahawk cruise missile. I wonder if instead of a hellfire, I wonder if we... No, we did not Tomahawk Osama's bestie. No. But how do you miss that? Do these for-profit media TV journalists not have any curiosity? Or do they just look and go, oh, it's flooding, let's find a hillbilly? Because that's how it feels. Parachute some people in. To talk to the locals and get them to talk in their funny little accent. And then go away and go to the next disaster. I read an update coming out of Kentucky. And I thought it might be helpful to it might give a sense of just what it's like there. A friend of mine on Facebook posted something from an unnamed individual. Reflections in a small window into what people are dealing with and the realities of flooding and flood cleanup. It rained heavy again yesterday. Maybe this has happened to you before, but now rain is terrifying. And of course, we talked for years and years and years. When you're around one of those leaky mountaintop removal, dirt, rock, and mud sludge dams. Years ago, there were little children, parents of little children, who said, "Yeah, when it rains like this, we sleep with our shoes on and our clothes, because if the dam bursts, we don't want to be found naked." There are houses and sheds stuck on top of bridges and sitting in creek beds where they're acting like dams with the potential to create further damage. One of three bridges we crossed to reach Whitesburg still has a house sitting on it. Imagine that. People are driving around in ATVs giving tetanus shots on the spot because of people dealing with rusty building materials. People are also generously driving around handing out food, water, cleaning supplies, etc. Bleach is in great demand. Everything is made out of poop. The high waters mean that septic systems flooded, sewage backed up, and carried that water into houses and streets. Water service is out. Different parts of the area are getting estimates for it to be restored anywhere from one day all the way to 3 months. And for people along the coastal areas who've dealt with hurricanes, sounds a lot like what happens when a hurricane hits. Welcome to climate change. We have landlocked hurricanes now. Power's out some places still. Internet's out in many places. Cell towers still don't seem to be functioning 100%, or else they're just overwhelmed. Many are still relying on word of mouth to get information. As I left here on Saturday, you know what it looks like in the corner of your cell phone? I've never seen it say 5G. But mine's, you know, LTE, and you get the bars. Well, when I left here, it said 1X. And that means like dial-up. Non-existent wireless internet. And it was that way all the way until I got past Lexington. So, yeah, the cell service was affected. One of the upsides to living in a rural mining community is that seemingly everyone has heavy equipment. Distribution centers that have been set up keep running out of supplies, and supplies keep flooding in from everywhere. But it takes people to get them out to the far corners of the counties. Mucking our houses has been sobering and sad to see sludge in the air conditioning vents, to doors swollen shut, to windows busted out, to piles of people's belongings, heirlooms, and necessities piled in the street to be trashed. Wading through the flooded archives at Apple Shop, that's an activist social justice organization in eastern Kentucky, has been sobering and sad to see decades of work documenting the region and culture and art and activism and organizing, including stories of other disasters near and far, washed off their shelves in the vault, potentially ruined, painstakingly being washed and boxed by volunteers. The scale is enormous. As someone mentioned yesterday, the only body equipped and funded to deal with the immensity of this damage is the federal government. FEMA is starting to accept claims applications, but that'll certainly leave many people out. Bodies are still being found. Yeah, FEMA, all that talk about how FEMA, FEMA is going to leave. Well, I was going to say people high and dry, but that's wrong. They're going to leave them low and wet. Oh, I'm sorry, you have poor credit. You can't get a loan. I mean, yeah, the hillbillies are going to be left to fend for themselves, as hillbillies always are. I wish we were better at this, but we are a broken country. And this isn't exactly a part of the country that the folks who know which fork to use with the oysters much care about. The only time they like to talk about eastern Kentucky is when they say things like, "Well, Murphy, darling, why do you suppose those people vote against their own interests?"
Brad, I don't know. I mean, you'd think they'd have the common good sense to vote for somebody that cares about them, but instead they voted for Trump. Oh, Murphy. Trump said he cared about them. He showed up in places like eastern Kentucky and Charleston, West Virginia. He's a grifter and he's a con man. But when no one will tell you that they much care about you, the one who does, well, they get your affection.
People who haven't been hit hard are showing up for their neighbors across the county, salvaging what they can from farms, making money move to the right places. Kentuckians for the Commonwealth members are sending supplies, checking in on each other, looking for ways to pitch in, show up. Our national allies are generously donating to Kentucky Mutual Aid and community funds, amplifying stories and more. It's going to be a long time. It's going to be a long, long time. And in the long run, nothing's going to appreciably change, because the one thing that makes these places so vulnerable to this kind of destruction isn't being mentioned. And in the entire history of this country, only one bill has been offered that would help put an end to this,
or at least keep from making it worse, and that's the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, the AHEC Act, H.R. 2073, which if you were kindly disposed, you could call your member of Congress and say, listen, we can stop some of the, we can make some of this crap in central Appalachia not so bad. Keep it from getting worse. Co-sponsor this bill. It is the last best hope of Appalachia. It's easy. It costs you nothing. It's just a matter of looking up a phone number. And God knows we need all the help we can get. The man who kindly sponsored the bill for years now, John Yarmuth, is leaving the Congress at the end of this term. We don't know if it'll be reintroduced in the next term. But it really is, some of this is made worse by mountaintop removal. Because a lot of this rain would have been soaked up by those thousands and thousands and thousands of years of soil. The trees themselves soak up the rain through the leaves. And it gets squishy and it gets muddy and it gets mucky. But it does so on the mountaintop and not in somebody's kitchen. Be kind of nice if more Democrats understood that. And meanwhile, off in New York City, London, Frankfurt, Pittsburgh, the coal bosses are laughing.
Yeah, well, it's probably some of what we done, but it ain't like they can do nothing about it, and don't nobody know about it, because ain't nobody mention it on the TV. Oh, my, my goodness gracious, it's good to be a coal baron. Coal keeps the lights on, doesn't it? Yes, yes, it does.
Flavio says, Ayman al-Zawahiri. Hooray, we got the septuagenarian terrorist! Meanwhile, I'd like to know what's being done about the terrorists in Congress who are going to do it again. I hope you saw the special On the Beat Friday with Ari Melber. It's online about the multi-layered, multi-pronged, and ongoing conspiracy to overthrow democracy. They're going to do it again, Ari said. Really? Hi, Ari! Y'all, they're going to do it again. How long have we been saying it? It's nice to know somebody's paying attention. At some point, an unpublished insurrection becomes unpunished. I'm sorry. At some point, Flavio says, an unpunished insurrection becomes a training exercise, Ari said. I'm paraphrasing. Well, I'm sure he was too. I mean, he could have just, you know, it would have been unsporting for them to just roll any of God only knows how many episodes of this program where we have said exactly that. A failed insurrection is a dress rehearsal for the next one. Back to the Blues Brothers, 1980, Darlene in Connecticut sends along a clip. The Bluesmobile does a backflip scene. Speaking of Bin Laden and the other dead guy, Zawahiri, having eyes for each other. Well, see the part beginning at two minutes and 5 seconds and listen to what the Nazi who's driving says to the Nazi leader. Ain't it always the truth? LOL. This movie called it. No, that's not going to do. Let's do this on a better platform. There we go. 2:05. Well, first we have to deal with the ad. By the way, we're an hour into the program. We've got $300 to raise to meet Bruce and Karen's Memorial Challenge. Chris in Germany and Ralph's and an anonymous friend put forward the matching money for Bruce and Karen's Memorial Challenge each month. And it would be Oh, beyond helpful if we could not start the month of August in a deep, deep hole. There we go. Let's start there. Car flips over the Nazi gremlin.
Holy shit!
Before there was Thelma and Louise, there was Nazi Henry Gibson and whoever that is. And so,
I've always loved you.
Good call, Darlene. And for anybody wondering, that's fair use because we're commenting on another story. And but if you, honest to God, if you can find any of the coverage, like from this morning's Morning Joke or Joe, the pictures they chose, maybe that's subliminal messaging. I don't know, but you know what's really weird is, we're very good in this country, and lo and behold, as I was, you know, I told that Australian girl in my phone to play one particular song, and then she just plays other things that she thinks she would like because she's an idiot. And lo and behold, after it played and two or three songs in, and what do I get? Toby Keith. Courtesy of the Red, White, and Blue, you know, the Put a Boot in Your Ass song. We do so love to feel like we've gotten some level of vindication. I mean, it's you know, times have changed. It's really out in the open now because, you know, their own Morning Joe, they had some retired CIA dude pumping his fists and beating his chest and talking about how the CIA never quits on us. Dude. By God, we're going to get them. Wrong accent. But trying to pump up some sense of celebration. And it doesn't feel like anything to celebrate. You know, there was President Biden, bless his heart. We never give up. We said we'd get him and we got him. And if you fuck with the United States, we'll fuck you hard. Okay. I'm not so cynical that I'm going to say that this was a wag the dog thing. It wasn't. It was just a matter of they finally found out where he was, so they decided to kill him. Because we're Merca, the greatest country in the history of the world on Earth now, today, forever in the universe under God. And, yay. Yay. Anybody feel better? But the funny thing is, and it ain't funny, but, and I guess this is what marks me as some sort of commie, pinko, pansy, liberal, progressive, sissy, liberal, pansy, commie, pinko, Marxist, whatever. But I wonder if anybody ever stops to think, not that it would make much difference, I wonder if anybody ever stops to think that Those fuckers were not sitting around there twirling their scruffy ass mustaches and making cartoon villain laughter noises. They thought they were doing the right thing as their God gave them lights to see it. Just like the Taliban legislature thinks it's doing the right thing. Just like the Florida Stan legislature thinks they're doing the right thing. With their don't say gay bills and whatnot. And yet, and I'm not suggesting anyone should, nobody's hellfire missiling the Florida state capitol or Goat Hill in Montgomery. Whatever could possibly be the difference? Oh, never mind. Okay. Got it. Speaking of evildoers, breaking news from the New York Times. Back in December 2020, Kelly Ward, the chairwoman of the Arizona Stan Republican Party, the MAGAT Party, I mean, who are we kidding? And the other Kelly, Kelly Townsend, a state senator, speaking to nitwit Nero's pettifoggers, said that they felt a little queasy about signing on to a slate of phony electors who would say that nitwit Nero had won Arizona Stan, because they actually knew that Joe Biden had won. And they went so far as to say, and, well, look at the New York Times catching up with us. They went on to say to the pettifoggers, don't you think some people could maybe see this as, what's the word I'm looking for? Treason! And they were maggots. And they knew. What does that say? They knew breadth and depth and height, and they knew that they were engaged in a treasonous plot. And they went on, and they went so far as to warn other Republicans. It all the story came out via an email that the Times got from Nitwit Nero's lawyer, Kenneth Cheesebro, does he work for the firm of Cheesebro and Cracker? Sorry. Nitwit Nero's campaign lawyer Kenneth Cheesebro warned Kelly Ward and Kelly Townsend. Here's the quote from the Times. Kelly Ward, the chairwoman of the Arizona Republican Party, and Kelly Townsend, a state senator, were both said to have expressed concerns to Mr. Trump's lawyers in December 2020 about participating in a plan to sign on to a slate of electors claiming that Mr. Trump had won Arizona, even though Joe Biden wouldn't do. The email arrived on December the 11th, 2020, 3 days before the states were supposed to finalize the Electoral College results. This is via Maggie Haberman. No cases had been filed in Arizona at that point. The Nitwit Nero campaign reached out directly and asked for the fraudulent electors to have a meeting and to take a vote. So in the email, Lawyer Cheesebro, it's not my fault, wrote, Ward and Townsend are concerned it could appear treasonous for the Arizona electors to vote on Monday if there's no pending court proceeding that might eventually lead to the electors being ratified as the legitimate ones. CC'd on the email was, of course, Rudy Giuliani, and in the email he actually bolded the word treasonous. They knew what they were doing. Some of them did it anyway. And instead of backing away and saying, hey, let's not commit treason, what you got instead was lawyer Jack Walenchik, in an email, who said that the fake electors, quote, aren't legal under federal law, and went on to call them fake. So, having called them fake, Jack Walenchik then said, So what y'all got to do, and you got to do it now, is file something in the Supreme Court to say that the Arizona election was fraudulent. So Cheesebro writes to Jack Walenchik and says, reason is that Kelly Ward and Kelly Townsend just spoke to the mayor about the campaign's request that all electors vote Monday in all contested states. Now, Kelly Townsend was worried enough not to sign the document, but Kelly Ward signed it. Treason, schmeason, what's a little treason? The only crime defined in the Constitution of the United States. And even though I have expressed, you know, if not misgivings, just a sense of, about us hellfire missiling Ayman al-Zawahiri. I mean, call it summary execution. We would have liked to have tried him, but we couldn't get him here to the United States. So, you remember what happened when we tried to do that. Republicans had a fit.
We can't give them a fair trial. They don't deserve one.
So we just, intervened with extreme prejudice. But nonetheless, John Kirby, who was on Morning Joe this morning, went over to Fox News TV Radio Rwanda shortly thereafter, or actually appeared from the White House via, where he was confronted by man with a not very big brain, Brian Kilmeade, if Nitwit Nero had been his administration had been able to do it, you would not have at Fox News TV they would not have been able to show Brian Kilmeade on screen talking about it because he would have been too busy masturbating with both hands and both feet, because it would have been so gosh darn star-spangled awesome. Yeah, but now not so much.
And again, I think if I was a member of Al-Qaeda, I'd be thinking again about how safe a haven Afghanistan might be for me right now.
Admiral, they're in 15 provinces, according to the United Nations, not known as a very political organization. But I do think that one would believe if the leader of the Taliban is not in a, the leader of Al-Qaeda is not in a cave or hiding out in the mountains of Pakistan, that he's on the balcony in the capital, that Al-Qaeda feels pretty good about their presence in that country, and there's more than just one guy. But that's not good news for us, but the good news is dead.
I'd actually throw that back a little bit, Brian. I don't think they're feeling too good about being in Afghanistan right now.
Really? If they were worried about it, they'd be in they'd be hiding in Pakistan, where we couldn't even find them.
I don't think that Al-Qaeda can look at what happened over the last 48 hours and feel like Afghanistan is going to be much of a safe haven for them. We have proven that over-the-horizon counterterrorism capability works. Right. We did it to a fairly well in the last 48 hours, and we're going to stand by and be ready and vigilant if we have to do it again.
Admiral, we
I mean, honest to Pete, they got to be feeling pretty good if they got him on a balcony. So that's the Fox News TV Radio Rwanda standard now? Dude stands on a balcony, so therefore that... I mean, that's like saying that they didn't know we had those drones. I mean, these people. He wasn't in a cave in the hills. Well, we're not there making war anymore. I mean, Jesus, these people. Never ends. But again, like I said, it would have been an entirely different story had it been, you know, the Trump administration. Ron in Raleigh writes, did they find anyone, did a reporter find a native that thanked God for saving his or her life and killing those other folks? Yeah, I know. On another and a sad note, we lost two great people this weekend with the passing of Bill Russell, the greatest defensive center in the history of the NBA. We also lost Lieutenant Noyota Uhura, a.k.a. Nichelle Nichols. Open all hailing frequencies in the great beyond. Yeah. Of course, word was that Nichelle Nichols had been not well for some time. So... And Bill, you know, it's never easy, but even death itself can be a relief, I suppose. And she was a groundbreaker. They tried to mess around with the character, and she said, no. The character wasn't even supposed to be who she made it. She built that character with intent. And Bill Russell, yeah, was the greatest defensive center of all time, no doubt. Went to San Francisco State. And I guess he and former San Francisco Mayor Willie Brown were classmates there. And they were groundbreakers in their own right. But it was Bill Russell's commitment to civil rights that really made him a giant among men. And they will be missed. They will. And I guess at the age of 90-some-odd, Pat, what was her name? Pat, long storied career as an actor, but she, I guess she's most famous now for being the voice of Ursula the Sea Witch in, Disney's Little Mermaid. She left this weekend, too. They come in threes. Steve in New York. Thanks, Ron. And Ron says, glad everything's in ship shape in Bristol fashion. Yes, thank you. Steve in New York says, so Obama gets the number one, Bin Laden. Biden gets number two. I am not into shit like this, but, well, I guess George Bush at least kept us safe. Pat Carroll, thank you, Lee in New York. Yeah, that he kept us safe. You know, except for everybody who died on September 11th, 2001. He didn't keep them so safe. I mean, who could have possibly imagined, you know, when you're sitting there with a presidential daily briefing that you refuse to read. Let's remember, Bin Laden determined to strike in U.S. Who could have known? Right? Drone on and on. Hey, Matt. We have to find some use for all those drones flying around the Middle East. Every now and then we have to bomb someone to make sure they still work. Must have been no weddings happening, so Al-Zawahiri got it. Yeah, we were hell on Afghan weddings. Well, you know, those people, a wedding, a terrorist plot meeting. I mean, they all look the same to us. Yeah. So, Titanic Tuesday, there's nothing for Titanic intellect like a bunch of Republican senators. I wonder who thought it was a great idea to block the burn pit legislation. And I guess there's a reason Pat Toomey is retiring from the Senate. Maybe he's slipping a little bit, because I complain about the for-profit media all the time, but this one they jumped on. He told a lie and said that the bill was full of extra stuff when it wasn't. It was the same bill. And, you know, there was Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, high-fiving on the Senate floor after they blocked the bill. Now they find themselves backtracking. What? It, you know, because the backstory on this, a few weeks ago, 84 senators, every one of the Democrats, even Joe Manchin and Curtsy and Kirstie Sinema, voted in favor of this bill because it was an easy yes. 34 Republicans voted for it too. But they had to go back and redo it because there was a drafting glitch. And they had to bring it back around, but this time because they were pouting over Joe Manchin and the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022, they decided to put their foot down. But everything they're claiming was in the bill that was added was in the bill they voted on in the first place. And so now they're backtracking for all their... No, we love the troops! We've always loved the troops! We're the party that runs on loving the troops! Now quit it! Now you got John Thune, maggot from South Dakota.
Well, the Democrats screwed up the bill the first time.
John Tester of Montana, moderate to right-wing senator, Democrat, has been working on this since 2021. Oh my goodness. It's a special night in the Fabulous Horn Studios.
What?
We have a visitor. Little Miss Lily wanted to Little Miss Lily wanted to go for a walk, and this is her first trip back to the Horn Studios.
It is. It's her very first. Yeah. She was having a fit temper in there.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
She's so cute. She's, you know, she's all of 8 weeks old.
She's 2 months now.
Yeah. Hi, honey. Oh, she's looking me right in the eye. Look at those pretty blue eyes. Look at that ginger head of hair like your daddy.
Say, as I'm getting older, I have to expand in the house. She has to walk all through here.
And so they went walkabout, and she will not take her eyes off me. Yes, I see you, baby.
Yeah.
Yes, she I love you. Her. Yes. What a little pumpkin. She's so cute. She's 8 weeks old, and she wants to talk. You talk to her, and you can see the wheels turning, and the little mouth gets going. And pretty soon she's wiggling and flailing her arms, and then she just lets out a yawp because she gets so frustrated because she can't talk.
Pure scream.
Yes. She's noisy, just like her papa and her papa's papa.
Yeah, but yeah. She wanted to see her opa.
Yes. Yes, and her has her opa's chin.
Yep, little butt chin. You can blow your nose and wipe your ass at the same time.
Hey, classy. She doesn't like it when you use dirty words. Did you hear that?
It's not that. It's that she's wanting to walk, and I'm holding still. I love you.
I love you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Lily.
Say bye.
I love you. I didn't realize. He's a little bit... He's like me. He can kind of slip up. And that was what that gasp was. I was talking along, you know, and Pat Toomey, yada, yada, yada. And... You know, did a double take and jumped out of my skin. My heart rate will be back down to normal here in a day or two. This is just so sickening. The burn pit legislation and the people who eagerly sent the military off to a war of choice that Dim Leader wanted because he tried to kill my daddy. but they're back and they're not useful anymore, so fuck them, right, Republican Party? sure. Because that's how it ever is. They're happy to have them when they're you know, not shot, not poisoned. But they become ever so forgettable to Republicans once they've, if they're lucky, outlive their usefulness. Now all we got to do is move on to the ones who are poisoned by having to crew artillery that fired depleted uranium rounds. A lot of cancer there. Subject line, wants to talk. Matt says, 8 weeks old and she wants to talk. I wonder where she gets that from. It's a mystery to me, Matt. As to Nichelle Nichols, Lee in New York reminds us, I assume that you know she was going to leave Star Trek. Dr. King is why she stayed. NASA got her to encourage minorities to apply. One was Mae Jemison. After being on the International Space Station, Dr. Jemison had a bit part on Star Trek. How cool. There's our obligatory Star Trek reference for the evening. Sadly, in memoriam for the magnificent Nichelle Nichols. I saw George Takei have... Well, he was all broken up online. Curiously, I haven't seen any statements from Shatner. Oh, well. And from the No They Don't Have Any Decency Department, how about the latest, one of the latest tweets from, it was a month old or more, but Lauren Bobblehead Boobert, Clanny Oakley, tweeted, we need to terminate this presidency. See how it works, presidency with pregnancy, huh? That was a couple of weeks after the Dobbs decision came out. We need to terminate this presidency, end quote, repeat the line. The repeat the line part becomes potentially stochastic terrorism. And, you know, at least people who saw it reported it to the FBI. No mention from the FBI, or for that matter, the Secret Service, as to whether anything was done, because IOKIYAR. Oh, and the various and sundry maggot states and maggot E states continue their onslaught against women and people who can become pregnant in this country. Jesus. Here in West Virginia, where our Republicans are every bit as nasty as Republicans anywhere else in the country, and some more so, if one may imagine, well, I wanted to tell you about a guy by the name of Azinger. Jesus, this is sickening. A trans guy testified at the hearing and gave his account of having been raped as a child. And a Republican senator by the name of Azinger, this is nauseating to even say, replied Why would I even care what you have to say? Michael T. Azinger is the senator for the 3rd District of the state of West Virginia. And he's a notorious and relentless homophobe and transphobe. And responding to this young man's account of rape, said he didn't care, and that he would always be a woman and could never be anything but a woman. He is, in a word, disgusting. Among other things, in addition to attacking a rape victim, a survivor of rape, guess what? He's also an insurrectionist. And not just any insurrectionist. He was right there on January 6, 2021. In fact, he's so far down the rabbit hole, he is so dedicated to his sedition, he said, the people that are responsible that were for the violence there on January 6th were Antifa, and there's evidence of that. Trump people don't destroy property. That's not what we do. They've been burning cities for months now. I don't think Trump people broke into the Capitol. He was at the Stop the Steals rally. He didn't actually go to the Capitol, to be fair. And he, that 3rd Senate District, he's from Vienna, West Virginia. But it takes in the county where I used to live. And once again, these people are hateful. These people are noxious. These people are disgusting. But we make a grave mistake if we let off the hook the people who put them in office. They are genuinely awful. Imagine being so dead in your soul that you would mock a rape survivor and misgender them. What the hell is wrong with them? And I don't ask that rhetorically. What is intellectually, spiritually, wrong with them? Because if you gave them the direct quote by Azinger, I'd say, yeah, that's all right. I ain't no real man anyway. God, it's repulsive. I don't know. For some reason or another, I can't find the direct quote. It was sickening. And so, that's West Virginia. The state Senate, Republican-dominated as it is, took the criminal penalty out. Abortion ban, and sent it back to the House. This sickening turd, among other things, referring to a teacher, a trans teacher. Called that teacher a cross-dresser and said they must have a spiritual or mental problem. Yeah, demons. She's got demons. She's got a bad case of the demons. I know how awful they are, but I'm just... can't wrap my head around it. Why people so revel in their hate? It flummoxes me, but interestingly, they're voting today. It's being a Tuesday and all. They're voting today out in Kansas, Stan. The polls will close at 7 p.m. Central Daylight Time, about an hour and a half from now. There's a constitutional amendment. See, here's the problem. It's not a problem. In Kansas, it is constitutional law for that state that the right to an abortion is constitutionally protected. And so Kansans are being asked to vote as the first state in the country to do so on whether or not people have a right to access that medical care. It's called Amendment 2. It declares by the voice of the people in the Constitution that there is no right to abortion and no right to public funding for abortion under the state constitution. Because in 2019, the state Supreme Court of Kansas said, yes, there is a right to abortion in the Kansas Bill of Rights. Now here, and you know, there's such devils when they come to drafting these goddamn maggots. This is what people are asked to read and vote on in Kansas today. Because Kansans value both women and children, the Constitution of the State of Kansas does not require government funding of abortion and does not create or secure a right to abortion. How much does the state of Kansas really value women or children if they take away the most fundamental right of a person who can become pregnant? Now, the Republicans are running around saying, no, it don't eliminate abortion. It don't make abortion illegal. No, y'all go ahead and vote for it. I know, wrong accent. And Alabama and Louisiana and Tennessee and West Virginia, Stan, have also passed constitutional amendments. I voted against it in this state, saying there's no constitutional right to abortion. So the people of Kansas are being asked to opine as to what the Constitution of Kansas says, when probably 99% of the people of Kansas have not read their state constitution. I guess it's like a multiple guess test or something. This is the first vote. Four other U.S. states will vote on constitutional amendments to reduce people who can become pregnant to second-class citizens. Kentucky, Stan. Montana. California and Vermont. California and Vermont are actually voting on, later, on amendments to make abortion plainly a constitutional right in those two states. Bleeding Kansas, right? Yeah. Well, listen, we're at the halfway mark. We're at a goose egg. And, you know, we didn't get out of the month of July. We've got a hole, a $300 hole to begin the month of August. We have a chance to eliminate that thanks to Bruce and Karen's Memorial Challenge and our kind sponsors thereof. It would be great if we could go after it, because worrying all month long, you know, sweating every blessed bill, and I do, is hard. By the way, there is what's being described as a, and I told you there was, when people go, what in the hell happened to Joe Manchin? Who twisted his arm? Again, let's memorize this. I memorized it. Let's everybody memorize it. The first law of Manchins. No Manchin ever does anything that does not benefit someone by someone else who's or someone named Manchin. And in this case, it's the Mountain Valley Pipeline to carry frack gas through West Virginia for other people. No, it's an ugly piece of business. The price of Joe Manchin's participation in the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022 was a permitting process reform, in other words, greasing the skids, to make sure that the Mountain Valley Pipeline gets final approval. That was the cost. And like I said, there are within the Inflation Reduction Act some sweet, 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 sweet pieces of corporate welfare for the people who are burning up the planet. Rick Walsh of Valero, a hydrocarbon company, said in an earnings call that Senator Manchin had included components in the bill, quote, that are helpful to our business. So, among other things, there's a hunk of the bill. I mean, we knew it was there, right? There's a hunk of the bill that calls for drilling in the Gulf of Mexico and off the coast of Alaska. Drill, baby, drill. Sarah Palin must be absolutely thrilled. One unnamed oil and gas industry lobbyist speaking to Politico said, if you look at the pros generally outweigh the cons. The Easter eggs that Manchin forced into the bill on leasing, they're a big deal. Easter eggs. And, of course, there's carbon capture and sequestration boondoggle money. That's money right down. They'll dig some big holes for the carbon capture and sequestration stuff. and they will pour oodles of money down it. According to Barron's, ExxonMobil, Chevron, Occidental Petroleum, and Equitrans Midstream will likely be big-time beneficiaries of the bill because of the carbon capture technology boondoggle. By the way, when we say carbon capture technology, like the term clean coal, that's just an advertising slogan. It's not actually a technology, because in order to be a technology, it has to work. It doesn't. Barron's, in their story, said, the legislation extends a tax credit for carbon capture and storage that oil companies can claim based on how much carbon they capture and sequester. Exxon has made carbon capture a centerpiece of its low-carbon investments and wants to build hubs in industrial areas where several companies could collaborate on projects. While it's still a relatively small business, the big oil companies could start growing their projects quickly with federal help. What's that term? In industrial areas. You know, in those industrial areas, there's something more than just industry. Human beings also live in those industrial areas. Houston or Cancer Alley in Louisiana come to mind. And, of course, those are not people who look like your average oil company executive. So, you know, fuck them. There are tax credits to extend the life of dirty coal plants. And so for everything in there that's good for renewable energy or low carbon energy, climate change mitigation, there's an Easter egg. Sure. Joe to the mansion born, Matt asks, does he have to pay extra for the large corkscrew that will be required to bury him? I'm pretty sure it's actually an auger, and you attach it to the power takeoff of a backhoe or a D9 Caterpillar. Use a lot of those in mountaintop removal. And I'm sure Joe's got two or three of those just laying around not doing anything. And yeah, you're right, Matt. They'll have to auger him into the dirt. Jeez. Yeah, the side deal that Joe made is to the mansion born is being called a climate bomb. Basically, the Mountain Valley Pipeline business that I mentioned is being taken away from the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in terms of jurisdiction, because the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals has proven to be something less than entirely obsequious to the pipeline company. And instead, they would give jurisdiction to the D.C. Circuit Court, where that court is more amenable to these pipeliners. What does the Mountain Valley Pipeline mean for the people of the planet we call Earth? They've analyzed what the pipeline will do, and according to one estimate, the Mountain Valley Pipeline, which will pass not far from here, will generate $89,526,651 metric tons of greenhouse gas emissions per year. So that's over 10 years, 8,952,665,100 metric tons. What does that mean? Well, you know, a little bit ago I mentioned that, you know, one moderate blast on a mountaintop removal site is equal to a Tomahawk cruise missile. Well, the greenhouse gas emissions from the Mountain Valley Pipeline, that equals 26 brand new coal-fried power plants, or 19 million passenger vehicles added to the emissions. Mountain Valley Pipeline crosses 1,000 streams and wetlands as it goes through West Virginia to Virginia. But hey, it's an important compromise. Jamie Henn, whom I met a few years ago, he used to work at 350.org. Now he heads up Fossil Free Media, was the one who called it a climate bomb and directed people to a video.
Mountain Valley Pipeline is a project of Equitrans Midstream. It's a 40 high pressure fracked gas pipeline that is creating a sacrifice zone across Appalachia. I'm Russell Chisholm. I'm on top of Brush Mountain in Montgomery County in Southwest Virginia. Behind me is the Mountain Valley Pipeline.
This is Maury Johnson. I'm standing on Doe Creek Farm in Giles County, Virginia. It breaks my heart to see the destruction that's happening here on this farm.
We've been resisting Mountain Valley Pipeline since 2014.
The resistance to this is because we understand that pipelines are inherently bad, these kinds of pipelines. They take away the property rights. They threaten our water and our environment, especially this pristine water that's here in Monroe and Giles County.
I'm glad that Joe Biden has declared code red for climate, but it has been code red down here in Appalachia for a long time, with the fossil fuel industry calling the shots.
It's not just a regional fight anymore, and it's now a national fight, and I say it's a global fight.
So it is time for us to take our message from these hills, from this devastation and destruction, to the front steps of the White House, and demand that Joe Biden keep his climate promises, put an end to these projects once and for all.
So I'm asking you to join me for the Build Back Fossil Free rallies.
Join me in Washington, D.C., October 11th through the 15th, to stand in solidarity with all the pipeline fights across the country.
Our planet depends on it.
People versus Fossil Fuels, October 11th through the 15th in Washington, D.C. I won't be able to be there. Darn. Yeah, they've been fighting that since 2014. The fossil fuel industry calls the shots in Appalachia. Sure does. Sure does. Carbon capture and storage. Ron in Raleigh writes, if that technology doesn't work, will we be able to claw back all that filthy, and I do mean filthy, lucre? Will the hydrocarbon barons laugh all the way to the Cayman Islands? You're goddamn right they will, Ron. No, there won't be no clawback. There's no, and you know who knows better than anybody else that carbon capture and sequestration doesn't work? The people who keep hollering that carbon capture and sequestration works. I know of at least two demonstration plants. I think one was in Illinois and the other was in Mississippi. Horse-gagging wads of money, government money, your money, were dumped into it. And after a few years, even the fossil fuel industry went, no, this shit doesn't work. Of course it doesn't work. But we got your money. Yay! Lord God. Oh, and the Kansas City Star reporting, as Flavio lets me know, the Kansas constitutional amendment that's on the ballot today, the Kansas City Star reported, an anonymous group is sending a misleading vote text to Kansas voters telling them to vote yes in order to protect choice. Needless to say, they need to vote no. But it was deliberately done in such a way as to almost guarantee the passage of the amendment. Yeah, vote yes to protect choice. That's no different than when Republicans send out mailers saying, you know, let's say the election's on November 3rd, make sure and vote on November 4th. Yeah. So, here we go. But Joe Manchin, well, you know, the most dangerous place to be on Earth is between Joe Manchin and a camera. And he was hitting all the shows over the weekend, including his favorite network, Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. And now we understand why he's so vociferous on this bill, don't we? Well, Harris Faulkner interviewed him on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. And she pressed him, talking about how horrible it would be for Merca, and, well, this transpired.
And so quietly, because you were a holdout like Kyrsten Sinema.
Well, I wasn't a holdout. I was basically opposed to the BBB at $3.5 trillion. And when it came down to it last December, I just couldn't do it. And I was just up front and told him I can't be done and I can't get there. So that's over. But I always...
Yeah, I mean, that would have benefited some people who weren't named Manchin. Right? Yeah. And it didn't have any Easter eggs in it. Joe likes an Easter egg hunt. Don't you love his milk smooth voice? Buttermilk. I mean, eventually he's going to show up with a straw hat and a corncob pipe. I swear. Well, I mean, I just couldn't do it. I mean, dying.
I always wanted to do something I could for my country, and this is all about my country. It's not about my politics or someone else's politics or my friends on the Republican.
Oh, this is about your country. It's not about anybody named Manchin. Oh, hell no. That was a fake laugh. Matt in San Francisco says, carbon capture. Can I get funding for overnight 30-pound weight loss pills? I'll spend it with as much care as the oil companies will spend on carbon capture, and it will be equally effective. Yes, absolutely. I don't know. Do you think you can develop those with, say, a couple of billion dollars in funding, Matt? I mean, if you can't, take the couple of billion anyway and just get back to us when it turns out that can't be done, all right? Is that okay?
Republican side or my friends on the Democrat side or whoever's upset with me. It had nothing to do about any of us. This is about what can we do for the country. And right now, inflation is the greatest threat that we have. It's hurting every West Virginian, I can assure you, at the gas pump, at the food store, and their energy bills, and just their daily lives. And if we have a chance...
You know what hurts West Virginians? Being poisoned hurts West Virginians. I mean, sure, a half a gallon... the per gallon price of half and half now is $13.60. You don't see that much ever. in the multimillionaire for-profit media. And yeah, that sucks. Your meager dollars just don't go nearly as far. So we're off half and half now. And that kind of is an annoyance. But $12 ribeyes, $12 ribeyes are nothing in comparison to breathing toxic dust that you can't even see every day of your life. And then sitting there on the end of the table at the doctor's office when he says, well, I mean, I'm sorry you got cancer. Yeah, but goddamn, have you seen the prices of gasoline lately? Oh, Joe.
Chance, and I've said this all along, if I ever had a chance to have an energy policy that was balanced and we could basically make sure we're producing more energy for what we have rather than going around the world asking other people to produce for us,
shouldn't
we do that?
All right.
Isn't that something we all wanted? And that's what we got out of this. It's a great bill.
And I've read the part about what West Virginia could see in terms of energy. We'll get into that in a second. But I want to hit what you said, because you are absolutely right. Everybody's focused on inflation right now. Every poll shows it. So, you know, I'm looking at the Penn-Wharton budget model, which you, Senator, have been known to watch. It examined the details of the Schumer-Manchin deal. And, and actually, it said something very different than you just said. It said that the impact on inflation, this is a quote, the impact on inflation is statistically indistinguishable from zero through 2031. Penn-Wharton modelers are saying, we don't agree with those who think deficit reduction will lead in a straight line to lower inflation. But that's what the Democrats claim for their bill. So it can't, so both things can't be true. And, well, and this is something that they're studying. So are you wrong, or are you not giving all of the hard truth to Americans about what this is going to cost them in terms
of
inflation?
Let's say maybe they're wrong. Okay, there's other ones that said absolutely different than that. Moody's has said different. And you have the Bob Anderson budget policies. They've said, Maya McGinnis and her group came out. We had 17 Nobel laureates last year when I said inflation is real, it's going to be here, and it's going to hurt us immensely. They says, oh, no, no, it's going to be transitory. And 17 of the brightest in the country were
so
wrong.
Let me ask you specifically,
so
what cuts inflation in this bill?
Let me ask you this. How in the world could it be inflation when you're cutting? My Republican friends always said, we got to start paying down debt. I've been a budget hawk my whole life. We're paying down $300 billion. You're saying massive expenses? $3.5 trillion BBB was massive expenses.
You asked me a direct question, so I'm going to answer you. So how is it not a straight line? Because I'm not saying, and even Penn-Wharton isn't saying that it won't eventually get there in a jagged line. But you know how it doesn't? Because we are cooking a higher rate of inflation right now ahead of wages. And even if everybody were to go out and get a job or two or three.
Oh, shut up. Yeah. Again, if a maggot had come up with any of this, of course a maggot wouldn't, Harris could not be shown on screen. Oh, how about that? Well, thank you, Kim, in New York. Apparently, it's terribly, terribly difficult to hang on to tweets. It was in the maggot administration. CNN now reporting that the Defense Department wiped the phones of top departing DOD and Army officials at the end of the Trump administration, deleting any texts from key witnesses to events surrounding the January 6, 2021 attack. How many times have I said that the military is more compromised than we think it is? Well, there you go. A watchdog group brought a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit against the Defense Department and the Army. They're called American Oversight. And that was what compelled the Pentagon to say, as did the Secret Service. Dog ate him. Curiously, some of the tweets may have been involved in sending the National Guard to the U.S. Capitol. And so once they say it's disappeared, I guess it's just disappeared. I wonder why they'd want to do something like that. I don't know. Listen, this is one of those nights that I have a meeting, and I'm going to knock off. But it's so good to be back. If any of you are listening to a rerun, or you're listening to the podcast, here's a chance to double your money and help us knock down a breathtaking deficit, or keep it from being a breathtaking deficit. You know, deficits matter. We were just listening to Joe there. But if you've got 10 via the challenge that occurs the first of every month, Bruce and Karen's Memorial Challenge, if you've got a 10, it'll turn into 20, courtesy of Chris and Ralph's and our anonymous friend. If you got a 20, it'll turn into 40, up to $300. And it is needed. Yeah. Kim adds in New York, let's not forget that Michael Flynn's bro was placed in the Pentagon by Trump. Huh. Thanks for the reminder. Curiouser and curiouser, said Alice. My reference to the corncob pipe, Matt in San Francisco says, I just pictured Joe with Zsa Zsa Gabor, Ava. That was Ava, man. Gabor by his side with the theme of Green Acres playing in the background. Seems Joe had to think quick about what bills people pay, like the gas, the groceries, and whatever else you peons have to pay each month. Yeah, that's Joe to the mansion born, man of the people. Yeah, nice, huh? Well, thanks everybody. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. Thank you, Max. Thank you so much, Max, for making the deficit not nearly as bad as it was. Program will be back up on Podbean as of this evening. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Remember, brand new fresh Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. Best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. Now a proud union shop. Please stay safe, get your second booster, wash your hands, don't touch your face, for God's sakes, in crowded areas. Wear your mask. Maintain your social distance. And if some idiot burbling about terminate this presidency comes towards you, avoid that Clanny Oakley like the plague, because she is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. So nice to be back. Thanks, everybody. Later.